Amen. You may be seated. We are talking this month about walking with Christ. And it's really a monthly series on discipleship, as it's traditionally known. But we're not looking at it in a traditional sense. We're looking at it more from a relational sense, because when the disciples were following Jesus, they weren't following the rules of Christendom. They were following the person Christ. And the closer that we can get to that ideal, the better off we are. When we can extricate ourselves of things that are excess and extra, and really focus on the person of Jesus, and focus on the risen Savior, the living one who was dead and is now alive forevermore. If we can disentangle ourselves sometimes even from our own prayers and our own spiritual concepts and drop some of the religion and really focus on the person, Jesus, then we can gain some sense of what the disciples were experiencing as they were being disciples. They were learning from him. They were learning from him. Disciple means being a learner, and they were literally walking with him, talking with him, listening to him, learning from him. That same Jesus is alive today. And in fact, that same Jesus is alive in each one of us today by his Holy Spirit. And he lives inside of us to be a teacher, to be a counselor, a comforter, to empower us, and to glorify the Son that we worship. And so we're looking at the wonders of our walk, part two. I liked the title last week so much that I thought I'd bring it back. The wonders of our walk. And as I concluded last week, the wonders of our walk can be summed up in the one who is named Wonderful by the Scripture. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so as we explore this subject of discipleship and we talk about the wonders of our walk, front and center is Jesus the Christ, the living one. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 9:10 for our text verse this morning. Psalm 9:10 is our text verse. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. If you are taking notes this morning, I want you to write that verse down as the main idea. And I want you to underline your, you, you, and you. Because that's what this verse is about. It's about you, Lord. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Not trusting in a body of knowledge, not trusting in dogma, not trusting in philosophy, not trusting in ritual, not trusting in church per se, not trusting in the Bible per se. As we saw last week, we honor the Bible. We trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't idolize the Bible. We talked about that last week. Those who know your name will trust in you. If you can distill from this verse just that idea, those who know your name will trust in you, I'll be happy. That's why I'm asking you to underline your, you, you, and you in Psalm 9:10. Because this is about him. Discipleship is about him. And this is such an exciting verse to me because it connects knowing the Lord with trusting in him. Knowing him is not just about having a sunnier disposition. You know, you hear me talking about knowing the Lord. It's not just about having happy feelings. Knowing him affects the way we are in every situation, how we think, how we see, how we respond. And so I want to present to you this morning why trusting in him is the best place on earth to be. I hinted at this last week, and I said I would speak about it more fully this week. But this verse, those who know your name, when we know what you're like, Lord, is what he's saying. Those who really know what you're like, those who really know your character, those who really know what Jesus Christ, what God is like, when you really know, then the natural result is to trust in him. That's what happens. It's cause and effect. And it excites me because it shows that the more we immerse ourselves in knowing him, the deeper our trust will go. The deeper our trust will go. And you won't have to work at it. You won't have to work at it so hard. There will always be challenges because of the flesh and because of the world and because of the devil. But as we've looked at it in Sunday school and Bible study, it's the difference between the gears grinding and the gears being lubricated with the oil of joy and by the Holy Spirit. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. When we're driving a familiar route, we say, I know this way. I know this way. And that means that we trust that that way will lead us to our destination. And so knowing and trusting are linked. The more we pursue knowing him, the more trusting in him becomes a familiar route that we trust will lead us to our God-ordained destination. Conversely, those who know your name will put their trust in you. On the other hand, this is what Jeremiah 4:22 says, if we don't know his name. Listen what Jeremiah 4:22 says. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. Now, keep in mind here what the problem is. The problem here was not that they didn't know what to do. That wasn't the problem. The problem was not that they needed more instruction. The problem was not that they weren't trying hard enough. It doesn't say that they weren't trying. The problem is, and Jesus and God states it here plainly, the problem is they do not know me. That's the problem. That's why this is happening. That's why they're going astray and being wild and crazy and running rapidly to evil. It's because they don't know me. Because those who know his name will put their trust in him. See, when it comes to discipleship or walking with Christ, I would argue that the primary lesson that the Lord was trying to teach the disciples was to trust in him. The primary lesson he was trying to get them to grasp and realize and hold on to and not let go was to trust in him. Now, some may argue that it was love. That he was always trying to get them to love, that was the primary thing. But God has called us to love the world with the love of Christ, not with human love. And we can't access that kind of love without trusting in him. And so I would go back. You would think you put me in check with that move about love. And I would say, I'm moving my queen over here. Checkmate. Because you can't get to that kind of love without trust. And the Lord never intended for us to generate godliness or his character in our own strength. It is always through trusting in him, as we saw last week. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as I said last week again, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. Trust in me. When Jesus fed the 5,000, what was his lesson to them? Trust in me. Don't look at what you've got. Trust in me. Recognize who is with you. The higher objective of prayer, the higher objective of prayer is to build our trust in the Lord, whether he gives us what we want or not. The higher purpose of prayer is to deepen our fellowship with him. The higher purpose of prayer is to know him better, which means growing in our trust in him. To know him is to trust him. Once again, those who know your name will trust in you. There's a difference between trusting God for something and trusting in God. This is calling us to trust in him, not merely to trust him for certain things. Those who know your name will trust in who you are, regardless of what it looks like over here or over there. Those who know your name will trust in you whether it's up or down, whether they're good or bad, whether they've had a great day or a terrible day. Those who know your name will put their trust in you regardless. Those who know what you're like, you will always be their focal point. You will always be the compass pointing north. They will always look for you. Those who know your name will trust in you. When you really know what I'm like, you're going to love me. The Lord is saying, when you really know what I like, what I'm like, you're going to love me. And if you don't love me, you don't know what I'm like. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. On one level, every person who's a believer knows Christ and trusts in him. But the more we get to know him, the deeper will be our trust in him, and the greater the riches we will receive in this life as a result. And I'm not talking about material riches. You'll hear what I'm talking about in just a moment. But the deeper our trust, the greater our experience of the riches that are all of ours. See, every one of us is loaded. And the deeper our trust in him, the more we see our wealth. It's not that God gives us more wealth. Our eyes are open to see the wealth we have as we trust in him. There's nothing sadder than a person walking around feeling broke when they're loaded. We're loaded. And those who know his name and put their trust in him will see it. That's why Paul prays for Christians in Ephesians 1, 17. He says, I keep on praying for you, Ephesians. You know the Lord. You've been born again. You're in his family. You're going to heaven. He lives inside of you. But I'm still praying for you, and I keep on praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Because the deeper your knowledge of him, Ephesians, the greater will be your experience of the riches that are in him. And the more your life will reflect him. So what are the riches? What are these riches that surpass our wants and our preferred outcomes? Remember last week I said there are things that are better than our preferred outcomes. There are things that are better than the things we want. And God knows what those things are. What are some of these things? Now, we don't get to own these things that I'm about to present. We don't get to own them. We have to receive them from the Lord day by day. And if need be, moment by moment. But they are available in him. And these are the riches. I'm just taking you for a little walk inside my relationship with the Lord. These are the riches that I seek. When you hear me talking about a relationship with the Lord and building a relationship with the Lord, and that's the best thing that this life has to offer, I want to share with you where my heart goes and where my focus goes. You may want all of these things. You may want none of these things. You may have all these and more. I'm not presenting them as a formula. I'm not presenting anything as something to do. I'm presenting this as something to desire and something that you can take all of, some of, none of, whatever. But I am sharing it with you because nothing has been more consistent and revelatory and revolutionary in my life than to consider these things that are ours. They belong to us. It's what God wants to give us. By virtue of our belonging to him, and we access them by trusting in him. What if you could be secure in the Lord's affection? I mean, really secure in the Lord's affection and his care for you, regardless of what happens or doesn't happen to you. What if you could become more aware of his presence with you, even unseen, regardless of what's happening in your life? What if you could be genuinely and deeply appreciative of the amazing life you have in Christ? And what if you could be so attracted to the Lord that prayer moves from ought to, and it moves from want to I love it and I can't help myself? I want to talk to you about that. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to write down is those who trust in him. Security in him is what we get by trusting in him, security in him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusteth in thee," because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Tuesday. September 3rd, it was quite a day for me. I walked into the fellowship center, and Ronnie was standing outside her office. And I walked in, unlocked my door, and she immediately beckoned me down to her office, which is right down the hallway from mine. She, Pastor, come in here for a minute. I was expecting maybe a surprise or a joke we were going to play on somebody. Maybe a sensitive church situation that she was about to unload on me. And then she said it. I'm leaving for another position. Starting Monday. What is today? Okay, well, that was yesterday, but the other Monday is 6 days from now. Starting Monday. My face literally froze in a semi-smile. Now, when someone hits you with something and all of a sudden, you know, you're grinning and they say something, yeah. That's what happened. And I couldn't get it off. I was walking around for the longest time like that. I was shell-shocked. I was like, this can't be happening. This is not true. I was stunned beyond words. It came out of the blue. And I can tell you, I was not experiencing perfect peace in that moment. I was not feeling very secure. But perfect peace is available to us not because everything in our lives is perfectly aligned or that there won't be face-freezing surprises, but by trusting in him. When we know his name, we trust in him even when what is happening is not to our liking or it's surprising or it's devastating or it completely upsets the apple cart. That is why trusting in him is the best place to be, because you can't control events. You can't. But it says those who trust in him will have perfect peace. See, it is not about your situation. It is about what is going on inside of you. It is about your constitution. It's what's happening in here that the Lord is promising us. Did you hear what I'm saying? He's talking about the way we are processing the life, the way we see life, the way we experience life, the way we enjoy life. That is what begins to change. And it makes us invincible in him. Security. Somebody stole our daughter's car last Sunday. We came home, hallelujah, car gone. Wow. Next morning, she gets up, getting ready to take our grandson to school, getting ready to go to work. She walks out the door, 5, 6 in the morning, and says, my car is gone. And they had the audacity to come up our driveway. The car was backed up to the garage door. And they literally came onto our property, up our driveway, and ripped off her car. She handled it a lot better than me. What? See, this is why I wanted to be a prosecuting attorney. This is why. This is why I didn't want to be a defense attorney. This is why I wanted to be a prosecutor, right here, because of that. And I was, how dare they? You know, when somebody messes with your stuff, you feel violated. It's like, ooh, do we even want it back if they found it? You've been in it, messing around with it. Life happens. It happens to all of us. You know, the card didn't say I belong to the pastor's daughter. And even if it did say I belong to the pastor's daughter, they still would have stole it. Life happens. So when I'm standing up here talking to you about this, I'm not talking about a perfectly manicured life. I'm talking about those who trust in him. That is the truth. Because the Lord was able to walk me off the ledge. He was able to walk me back. It's a process, but that process builds relationship. It's not, let me go in the closet and get some peace and put it on. No, no, no. It's in him, you see. We got to talk. We got to walk together. We got to work this thing out. I got to vent. I got to say I want to put that guy under the jail. Or 6 feet under. I want to be able to say that. I have to work it out. But I'm working it out with him. Those who know your name, see, I know I can trust you. I know that's how you are. See, those who know your name will put their trust in you. And as we put our trust in him, we gain security. Because his peace that surpasses all understanding then envelops us. But it's a process. But those who know your name will trust you for that. Because I know, Lord, I can trust you. You know, one of the things I asked my wife, I said, you know, the Lord makes us better, me and him. I said, Lord, I was out praying one day. I said, Lord, you know, you just do so many things to make us, me and you. The us factor is about each one of us and the Lord. You do so many things to make us better. And I love that. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to ask my wife, what do I do that makes us better? She and I. So I went home and I asked her, what do I do that makes us better? What do I do that makes us better? And, you know, she could have really took it to me with a 2x4. But she was kind. And she said, you give me a safe place to be better. I said, okay. I know where this is going. And I thought, that's what the Lord does with each one of us. He gives each one of us a safe place to be better. And as we recognize that, we trust in him. When we know that's who he is, then we put our trust in him. We have security. Paul said, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. You know, nothing is more relevant to every person than the desire to be loved for who we are, truly. Doesn't matter how much we have, doesn't matter how applauded we are by our peers, doesn't matter how much our colleagues respect us, our secret selves long to be known, to be accepted, and to be loved. And so, Lord, thank you for continually reassuring us of your love for our hidden person. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Being secure in his care. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The scripture tells us we're precious in his sight and we're honored and he loves us in Isaiah 43. Listen to what happened to Job. At this, Job got up after his kids were all killed. Storm came out of nowhere and just killed his kids on top of all the other things that had happened. And it says this, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. The news that his sons and daughters had been killed in a storm. He got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. I don't think that was planned. I don't think that was a have to. I don't think that was an ought to. I think it was a reaction that was born of long cultivated faith in the character of his God. He knew his name. He knew his name. And so the result was that he trusted in him. It didn't eliminate his human emotions because he did shave his head. He did tear his robe. It didn't anesthetize him from the pain or the agony of that situation. But his soul was anchored in the Lord. See, the question is not, would you want to go through what Job went through in order to grow closer to the Lord? Some say, I wouldn't want to go through that. Nope. No, thank you, Jesus. I'll see you when I get there. But that's not the question. The question is not, Would you want to go through what Job went through in order to grow closer to the more accurate question is, would you want to go through it without being close to the Lord? That's the real question. Because saying, well, Lord, that's okay, doesn't immunize you from life. Whether you come to church or not, life is coming to you. See, all church does and being with the Lord's people and spending time with the Lord, all that does is helps us to have a proper orientation to life as it is. We don't control it. Life is going to do what life is going to do. But those who know his name will put their trust in him. And it says that he will give us perfect peace. So that's security. The second thing it gives us is confidence. Confidence in him. Confidence in his ability to work in me and through me. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. Confidence in him. And what do I mean by that? You know, we all want to do a good job. And we all feel insecure when we don't do a good job. On the job, we feel great when we do a good job. We feel insecure when we don't do such a great job. But you know what? Whether my performance is excellent or poor, whether I have plenty or little, I can be confident in him. You see, in the book of Acts 23, Paul had a terrible outing. He was out preaching, and one thing followed another, and just bad went to worse. And it says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. So here Paul had a terrible performance, and it says, that night, the following night, the Lord stood by him, and he didn't correct him. He didn't say, Paul, you know you should have zigged when you zagged, and you should have ducked, and you should have done this. He didn't go into all of the details, because Paul made some mistakes in this outing. He did some things he shouldn't have done. And if he had it to do over again, he probably would have done it differently. But when the Lord showed up the following night, the Lord didn't show up with a list of corrections. It says, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage. Because just as you spoke here, you're going to have to do it in Jerusalem, in Rome. What? Yeah. But take courage. I'm standing here beside you. Take courage. And you know what the next verse says? The very next verse. It says, the following day, there was a plot to kill Paul that was hatched. So it went from bad to worse to terrible to awful. But the Lord was able to infuse in Paul a confidence that was beyond his own abilities, his own failures, beyond the schemes and plots of other people. Confidence that the Lord is able to work in me and through me despite me. That's what we get by trusting in him. The Lord is able to work in me and through me despite me, despite what I lack. My grace is sufficient for you. It didn't need to turn out the way you thought it needed to turn out. My grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. I'm perfect. Put your confidence in what I am able to do with your imperfections and your incompletions and your inadequacy. Those who know my name will put their trust in me because I can give you confidence beyond your own abilities, beyond your own skill set, your own wisdom, your own spirituality, your own goodness, beyond your own faith. Lord, I do believe.
Wow.
Help me. I need a little more.
Yeah.
I need a little more. I glory in Christ Jesus. I put no confidence in the flesh, Paul said. It's not about figuring out the right way. It's trusting in the right person. It's not about figuring out the right way. It's trusting in the right persons, confidence in him. You know, I was thinking about how the Lord used a live donkey to speak and accomplish his purposes. And we all know that we're a little bit more evolved than a donkey. Yeah. But he used this donkey to accomplish his purposes. And then he used a dead donkey and a dead decomposed donkey's jawbone to accomplish his purposes. The Lord can certainly work through our incompletions and our imperfections. So not only do I thank God for his work in me, like we were talking about last week, I thank him for his work in each one of you. I'm confident of him in you. You may not be confident of you in you. You may see struggle. You may see I'm barely hanging on. You know what I see and I pray? I see perseverance. You see, the definition of perseverance is you're struggling, but you're struggling, you see. That's the definition of perseverance. It ain't perseverance if it's easy, and it ain't perseverance if you gave up. But if you're struggling, you're persevering. I can't say anything. When I stand up here, after I get down and I go home and I lay down in my bed and take my nap, which I'm going to do as soon as this is over, I reflect and I think, Lord, did I say anything that would help them to just look to you a little bit more? Yeah. Did I say anything that made them a little more excited about you? And you know what? Some days I think I hit it. And other days I think I missed it. But that's not what's important. The Lord told me, in his own way, you can't say anything that's going to change a life. But I can use anything you say to change a life. So there it is. There it is. Whatever your field of operation may be, you can't do anything. But God can do anything with the smallest bit of what you have. And he wants our confidence in him. You see, that's why it's the best place to be. Then you can rest. Right? I mean, if you can rest and say, you know what? It wasn't my best, or maybe I thought it was my best, but my confidence is not in me. Lord, my confidence is in you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, because you have never forsaken those who seek you. That's the blessing of trusting in him. And number three, awareness of him. As we trust in him, he gives us a greater awareness of him. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And as we trust in him, we become more aware of his presence with us. Jesus said, I will disclose myself to him. This is why it's the best place to be. Because he makes himself known in a real way to us. It could be a nudge. It could be a hug. It could be a whisper. It could be sparks or fireworks. I'm the living one who was dead and I'm now alive forevermore. And as we trust in him, we become aware of his living presence. So I tell the Lord in the morning, I'm flinging open all the doors and windows of my soul and my spirit and my mind and my body. I'm flinging open all the doors of my being, and I'm inviting you into who I am for the richest fellowship we can have. And the Lord has a way of showing up as we trust in him in ways that nobody else will really understand, and they think you're kind of nuts. Robert Craig was telling me the other day, he was on his lawnmower and he was riding along, and there was some balls that he was picking up in the lawn that he was mowing, and he's driving along and all of a sudden he felt somebody tug on his shirt, and he looked around, nobody was there. He said it was the Lord. And I said, okay. You know, because you know how that sounds, right? You go and tell somebody the Lord tugged on your shirt, and people will look at you funny. But if he tugged on your shirt,
All right. You
know it was the Lord.
Right.
When it happens to you,
Yes. Then
you got to check with somebody and say, you know what, check my math on this. Am I okay? I mean, Brother Jim and I talk every Monday, and we check one another out. We say, "Are we crazy here?" You know, we're talking about our experiences of the living God.
Yeah.
And you need to have reassurance from Him that, you know what? Yeah, it is me. I didn't make it up. I didn't imagine it. It's not a figment of my imagination. This is real. This happens. He showed up. And the Lord has a way of showing up behind the most ordinary of doors. You know, I mean, He just does. It's how He is. And those who know your name, they know that about you, will put their trust in you. And then when the waiting is long, and when you go through some dry patches, and when He's not present, and when you're not able to connect with Him the way you really want to connect with Him, you trust in Him.
Yeah.
Trust in Him, not in the experience. You trust in Him.
Yeah.
And He has a way of showing up and letting you know, yeah, I'm still here. Psalm 73, the nearness of the Lord is my good. The nearness of the Lord is my good. And I'm finally, I'm winding down to the last one here, next to the last one, appreciation. Appreciation. The Holy Spirit is given that we might understand what God has freely given us, the scripture says. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Here's what I want to say about this, and I'm not going to even develop the rest of it because our time is getting past us. The greatest blessing is seeing our blessings. That's the greatest blessing that the Lord gives us as we trust in Him. He helps us to see our blessings. And when we see our blessings, our appreciation grows. You see, it doesn't matter how big the blessing is, if you don't see it as a blessing.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how small the blessing is if you see it as coming from the Lord.
Amen.
See, it's not the size of the blessing, it's the love that drives the giving of it. That's what we respond to, right? It's not the gift, it's the thought, or it's the love that powers it. I appreciate what Brother John was saying in Sunday school. He was praying, and he was asking the Lord for something, and he stopped in the middle of his prayer, and he said, Lord, I want to thank You that I believe that You're on the other end of this prayer.
Amen.
Whether You do what I'm asking for or not.
Amen.
The blessing is I believe that You're on the other end. Isn't that great? You see, that's called seeing your blessing. You know, John's situation didn't change instantly, but he was blessed by the believing and the seeing of the blessing. Those who trust in Him, those who know Your name will trust in You. And this is the blessing of trusting, is appreciation. Joy is the birthright of every believer. Every believer. And I asked the Lord, take me from thanksgiving to overflowing gratitude. I'd like that upgrade. I can give thanks, but I can't make myself grateful. So, Lord, take me from thanksgiving. Give me that upgrade to overflowing gratitude, appreciation. You are the life I most want to enjoy today. See, what's happening at Valley Brook? As we continually seek to abide in the Lord by faith, we're bearing much fruit, like He said we would. You're bearing much fruit. That has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with what's coming out of you. We're bearing fruit. We're bearing the fruit that Jesus promised those who abide in Him. And we're sharing that fruit with one another. And it's creating a big celebration. It's creating a festival, a feast It's a ball. We don't want to stop. Y'all want me to stop, but we don't want to stop. When we're at Bible study, it keeps going on and on because we're feasting. In Sunday school, we're feasting. But it's about bearing fruit. It's about bearing the fruit that he promised as we abide in him. None of this has to do with what's happening around you. Not one of the things that I've mentioned has anything to do with your circumstances. It's completely aside from, apart from, separate from any circumstances, whether things are great or whether things are terrible, these things are yours. And that's why it's the best place to be. These things belong to you. My motivation, my spiritual motivation, I'll get to that right in a second here. I said, Lord, I wouldn't change one thing in my past if it meant losing what I have with you in the present. That's where I am. I wouldn't change one thing in my past if it meant losing what I have with you in the present. I appreciate my life in you. I appreciate who you are to me. I appreciate who I am to you. This is what comes from trusting in him. And the final thing is attraction. Attraction to him. The Lord is able to give us attraction that's beyond ought to, beyond need to, beyond want to. To I can't help myself because he's as irresistible as pound cake and vanilla ice cream. He can take us to that place. That's what exists in trusting in him. As we trust in him, we begin to move to a greater level of attraction to him. My motivation is simple, Lord. I want the best, and you're it. That's it. I want the best. I'm only here for a certain number of years, and I don't know about you all, but I am highly driven to try to maximize the time I have here. I am highly driven to enjoy my life to the fullest. I want it all. But he is it. Yeah. I have come to the conclusion, and I am grateful to the Lord that I've come to the conclusion that the all that I want is him. Mm-hmm. He's it. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy other things. I'm going to go home and watch the football game and eat good food, yeah. Fall asleep on the couch. I'm going to do all those things, but the center, the core, the focal point, he's never far away from my thoughts. I don't care what's going on. If I'm watching the game when the commercial comes on, here he is again. And it's because he is all of that. And those who know your name will put their trust in him. It also works the other way. Those who trust in him will know his name. See, that verse works forward and backward. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. Mm-hmm. And those who put their trust in you will get to know your name.
Yeah.
It works both ways. I've experienced both of them, and I'm done. Just like that. I do want to say this. Don't think for one minute that seeking to trust the Lord will mean getting less. Don't think for one minute that when you make him your it, that means you're going to get less. On the contrary, it means getting an abundance of the best. It means the real best, not faux best. It's the beyond all we can ask or imagine best. It's the best we never knew existed and then can't imagine being without. It's the best, as we said last week, that we could have never figured out on our own, as we saw last week. And now I'm done. And we're going to ask now. We're going to have a special presentation for Devanda and Company. Barnes, Inc. So if you all will come on up. And then we're going to have the elders pray for them. And then we're going to dismiss you all to enjoy the expanded hospitality. And so if I could have the Barnes family come on.